Hey, it's Mike Greenberg for Mike and Mike. You're tuned into Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Tuesday. We're going to delay the Atlas Bolt and Supply reset button for a few minutes because it is a pleasure to welcome in on the Hardee's hotline at 648-1051. ESPN National College Football Reporter Brett McMurphy. Brett, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fine. Thank you. I wanted to get your, since you've kind of got the national view, Tennessee's been ranked number 9 in one poll, number 10 in the other. Just kind of curious, do you think the Volunteers move up from there or move down this season?
Well, I think Tennessee fans would be happy to have a top 10 team at the end of the season. I voted in the AP poll and I had them at number 10. Certainly the amount of talent they have back. Obviously, Joshua Dobbs at quarterback is huge for the Vols. The big question with Tennessee, if they're going to end up in the top 10 or not, is how they handle these high expectations. They haven't been able to do that so far, but it looks like, on paper anyway, that Tennessee's got everything you would want. Certainly, a lot of people are picking them to win the East. I think some people are even picking them to win the SEC in an upset, but they've got to win the games they're supposed to win, and then pull off a couple of upsets. And I think we'll find out, before the month of October, if they're for real or not, because they got to get past their kryptonite, Florida, on September 24th.
Brett, I know the college football has become a 12-month deal as far as covering it. What has kind of been the most compelling off-season story, in your view, these past few months?
I don't know about compelling, but certainly the most polarizing, especially the last couple weeks, is the Big 12 deciding to expand again. They basically changed their mind 5 times in the last 6 months, and they came out and finally said, look, we're going to revisit expansion again. They're talking to 20 schools. Obviously, all 20 of those schools don't have a shot to get in the league, but out of respect and courtesy for the different university presidents, they're going to go ahead and talk to all 20 schools. I think that one, at least lately, has really polarized a lot of people, because there's so many schools, maybe on the group of 5 level, but that could be impacted by this. And certainly the American Conference would have to replace some teams if they lose some of their members to the Big 12.
Of course, a big story in the SEC earlier this month was the whole graduate transfer deal with Maurice Smith going from Alabama to Georgia. I'm curious, with your dealings with Nick Saban, here's a guy that kind of caught some heat for this, but of course on the field his numbers speak for themselves. How long do you think, I remember when he was hired in 07, I thought he'd give Alabama a great 7 or 8 years. I mean, he's already gone past that. How long do you think Saban will coach in Tuscaloosa?
He's starting to get asked that question more and more each year, obviously. He has said that basically when it's no longer, fun, when there's no longer that desire to go out there and coach young players and get better, that he'll give it up. I don't think it'll be anytime soon. Bad news for the SEC. As far as the Maurice Smith stuff, I know, he was made out to be the villain in that. My perspective is it's the SEC had that rule. He was upholding that rule. The SEC should have told Saban, look, we're going to allow the kid a waiver, so you can go ahead and let him go. So Saban basically is just upholding the rule. I think the SEC kind of cut him off at the legs by not letting him know that earlier. I'm sure Saban would have released him from the scholarship. But certainly whatever Saban or Alabama does is big headlines.
You're listening to ESPN National College Football Reporter Brett McMurphy here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Brett, staying in Tuscaloosa, if they have what has become an expected Alabama season, do you see Lane Kiffin getting another head coaching shot?
I think so. The question is, where will it be and will he want it? Will there be a Power 5 athletic director that will say, you know, look, this guy has proven, you know, he deserves another chance. Let's give him another chance. You know, certainly I think he would get some looks at the Group of Five conference schools. The question is this, where does Kiffin want to go? If he doesn't have any Power Five offers that he wants, would he step down to a Group of Five school and coach there in hopes of moving up into the Power Five level? No way am I comparing him to the situation Art Briles is in. But when I get asked about if Art Briles will return to coaching next year, I think it depends on two things: what opportunities he has, and or what athletic directors and or schools are desperate enough that they want to win that they'll take a chance on Art Briles. In no way is Kiffin in that same category, but in a kind of apples to oranges comparison, there were some, you know, some issues at USC with Kiffin, and again, it depends on the school and the athletic director, how willing are they to take a chance on a guy. But certainly what he's done at Alabama is, I think, has actually been underappreciated. He's used a first-year quarterback the last 2 years. He's going to have a first-year quarterback this year. They've set offensive records at Alabama, and he's accomplished something that I don't think many people thought would ever happen, and he's actually convinced Nick Saban that they can run some up-tempo from time to time. Certainly not the entire game, but you do see a few more elements of the spread in the up-tempo with Kiffin directing the offense.
And you've got such a great grasp on the national stuff. I'm curious, who do you think wins more games, Mark Richt's new team or Mark Richt's old team in 2016?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm going to go with, without comparing schedules, I'm going to go with Mark Richt's new team. I think they're undervalued in the ACC. Brad Kaye, quarterback, is one of the best in the ACC, not named Deshaun Watson. You know, Georgia's, you know, got your typical SEC schedule. And, you know, first game off the bat, the toughie for Georgia, going against the North Carolina team that I don't think people realize how good they are. And, again, nothing against Kirby, but you wonder, you know, guys that have never been head coaches, how do they deal with that? How do they make that transition? I'll go with Mark Richt. I had a chance to talk to him a couple weeks ago. He is rejuvenated. He will be calling plays for the first time since his early days at Georgia offensively, and he's excited for a new opportunity and even admitted that if his alma mater wouldn't have come calling, that he probably would have set out this year.
You're listening to Brett McMurphy, ESPN National College Football Reporter, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Brett, if I had to say, who is your safest bet to reach the four-team playoff and why?
I could just give you my picks and you can go the opposite way. You know, I don't think there is one, because if you look at each league, you know, in the SEC, you know, Alabama, LSU, or if you want to buy stock on Tennessee in the East, I don't think any of those are guaranteed. The number one AP preseason team has not won the national title since 2004. So going by history, Alabama is going to have a tough road. In the ACC, Florida State or Clemson. Clemson has to go to Tallahassee, but I don't think that's a given that Florida State wins that game. It's a toss-up there. I think Oklahoma appears safe in the Big 12, but they're a top-four-ranked team. The last four times they've been a top-four-ranked team, they finished unranked in the final poll twice. They finished 15th and 16th. They have not performed well in that role. And then in the Pac-12, they're probably the most balanced conference of all. Stanford, USC, UCLA, Washington. A lot of people think their champion could have two losses. I'll go with Ohio State is the safest pick. They're actually my pick to win the national title. I think Michigan is not as good as they're being built up to be. Michigan State obviously is solid every year. Last year, I did not pick Ohio State to get to the playoff or obviously to win the national title, which Ohio State fans reminded me on Twitter every week until they finally didn't make the playoff. But I just felt last year it was so tough being such a unanimous choice to win it. All the pressure was on them. I know they lost a ton of talent, but they got JT Barrett back. I think they're going to have that edge that they didn't have last year, or at least certainly they didn't have until the end of the year against Michigan and Notre Dame in the bowl game. So I would go with the safest pick. I would go for Ohio State. So there you go. Guaranteed 6-6 season for the Buckeyes.
I actually like a lot of what you just said about Ohio State, because I think that makes a whole lot of sense. But they lost a ton of talent, but I think they got Urban Meyer recruits like Urban Meyer. All right, Brett, you've been great, but when we close, before we let you go, we love to put our guests through a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. You ready to play?
Was that the first question? Yes.
Okay, great.
Will Gus Malzahn be back in 2017?
History says no. 9 coaches since 2011 were a top 10 ranked team. In the preseason, they finished the year unranked. 7 of those coaches either retired or were fired within the next 12 months. I say no.
The fans with the shortest fuse on social media.
All 128 teams.
Who is a Heisman candidate no one is talking about but should?
I'll stay with the Ohio State theme. JT Barrett of Ohio State. If they run the table, certainly he'll be in the conversation.
Favorite interview among college football coaches?
Oh, wow, there's a ton of them. Mike Leach is certainly entertaining.
Yes, we had him last week.
there's a ton of guys. You need a good 30 minutes or an hour there with Leach. You can't get a lot of quick answers from him.
Which is amazing because, he's trying to prepare a team, and he was just going to keep on going. We finally were like, okay, well, thanks, Coach. All right, what's your favorite place to watch a college football game?
If I'm not at the stadium, we got a suite set up at ESPN called the War Room, where we have about 12 TVs against the wall, and you can literally watch every game on television. That's hard to beat.
Best entree at the ESPN cafeteria?
I like the barbecue chicken pizza. They make it for you right there. You can put your own ingredients. It's not bad.
Who has the most accommodating media access in college football today? I cover a lot of Georgia and Bama, and of course Kirby's taken a page from the Saban playbook. So Claude Felton at Georgia, they had one of the best reputations, but Kirby's kind of tightened things up there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I used to cover USF in Tampa for a long time, so I did a lot of Big East Conference USA games. So I'm gonna go old school and go with Louisville. They've always been very accommodating and help you however they can.
If Mel Kiper is ranked number one in the power poll of ESPN hair, are you ranked number one in the power poll of ESPN mustaches?
Actually, I probably have an asterisk by my name because it's actually fake and I put it on with Velcro every day.
Well, listen, Brad, thank you so much for giving us some of your time before the start of another football season. Enjoy. May you have safe travels each Saturday, and we appreciate you joining us here on Press Row here in Chattanooga.
Thank you.
All right, we'll reopen the Hardee's Hotline. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row. Back with more here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.